is rolling.
We rolling?
Good, because I'm ready to drink.
All right, so we're having right what that?
We start with the drink.
We're starting with the drink. Yeah. We have White Russians today. All right. Okay, yeah. So the ingredients for White Russians are 1 ounce coffee liqueur, 1 cup of ice, 1 ounce of heavy cream, 2 ounces of vodka, and an old-fashioned glass. Now, we don't have all of those ingredients.
We did not come prepared.
I'm on the broke, so I couldn't buy a bottle of Kahlua today. So we're going to...
It is what it is. We got coffee ice cubes that took a hell of a long time.
We did. We were waiting for these ice cubes before we could even start. And we got some Baileys, which is not coffee liqueur, but I like Baileys. So
I like Baileys.
We're about to do that. We got some vodka and some milk. So some people put it into like the glass and they like layer it where they put the coffee liqueur and then they like pour the milk on top and it's like all layered and nice. I ain't that fancy.
I think it looks cool, but I'm on your page.
Right. I think that I'd rather have it all mixed up.
So yeah,
that,
we're going to shake it up.
We're going to shake it up today. Okay. So hold
that for me. Start with that pour.
All right. So first off, we're going to do the Baileys. It's 1 ounce, but I'm going to do as much as I want to.
That's thick.
Ooh, we're going to put a little extra in there, too.
Is this for both of us or is this just yours?
No, you're drinking this.
I know that. I'm talking about the quantity.
Don't worry about it. Make these all. Your sister, this is her favorite drink. I made it all Christmas, past Christmas. Okay, so we got the cream or the Baileys. We're going to do 2 ounces of vodka. Oh, I'm sorry.
And a little extra.
Ashley, I'm sorry. I spilled it all over your table.
She doesn't know that. She's not here. Let's
do that. All right. And we're going to do some milk. Yeah, buddy.
Not too much milk.
Okay. We're going to shake it up. Now, we are being extra fancy with the coffee ice cubes that have that coffee liqueur in there.
I just wanted to be prepared.
I feel you. Thank you. Ooh.
Oh, shit. That looks good.
Ooh. Yeah, buddy. I'm going to be making more of these. This is for sure. And that's a White Russian, y'all.
You're not going to get more out of that. Stop shaking.
I can't.
Stop shaking it.
Every drop needs to be in the cup. Okay, and that is our rendition of a White Russian today.
Wow.
Cheers.
Oh, that looks good. Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Do you like it? I know you said you didn't like milk.
I don't
cocktails.
Hate it.
It's good, right?
I'm going to let the coffee seep in from
That's
the
true.
Ice cubes.
That's true.
And then we'll see how good it really is. Mm. So in about 5 minutes, you're going to do all the talking because I'm just be drinking.
That's fine. I'm going to start right now.
Oh, yeah. What's up, everybody?
What's up, y'all?
Welcome to the first official episode. This is the official episode of Lights, Camera,
Cocktails. I am so excited. So we just did our very first cocktail, the White Russian.
The White Russian, which gives you a hint of what movie we're going to be talking about today.
If you know anything about alcohol or movies, you should probably guess what this is. I'm kind of going to give you a little background on White Russians before we even start. How's that?
All right, I'm listening.
All right, so cocktails date back to like 1798, okay? That's when they're first like published in like newspapers. That's how old cocktails
are. Okay, because I know people were drinking long before then.
I'm just saying that's the first time it actually was like... People were having recipes for
when
shit.
The name was dubbed, this is a cocktail.
Exactly. Okay. So this drink was crafted in 1949 by Gustav Tops.
Gustav, sounds
Gustav
like.
Gustav Tops, a Belgian bartender, and he created this cocktail and the sister cocktail, the Black Russian, which is the same thing except they don't put cream in. And
they don't put cream in it.
Yeah, that's a Black Russian.
So it's just Kahlua and
vodka.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
For those of you who don't do well with dairy, that might be the drink for you.
That might be. But I'm doing ours. Ooh, that tastes so good. I love the ice cubes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not dumb, and I know that Belgium is not in Russia. Okay, I know this, but the the guy is from Russia and the drink is from Russia, or the guy is from Belgium and the drink is from Belgium. But the only reason why they call it a white Russian is because obviously it has vodka in it.
Uh-huh.
And anything vodka is Russian.
Gotta be.
So by 1965, it started spreading throughout the Western Hemisphere and ultimately making its way all the way here to California, where it was featured in the Oakland Tribune newspaper. Oaktown, what's up?
Mine's getting nice and brown now. Right? It's ready to be drank.
With the official recipe in the newspaper. So that's a little history on that. The drink is something that's popular. It was kind of popular at the beginning, and a lot of people think like you, as in like they don't really like dairy cocktails.
I think we're having technical difficulties with your mic.
If I gotta start over, I'm gonna be real.
We're not starting over, but just go ahead.
We good?
It's the first episode. Okay. We gotta fix these things.
We good?
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's why we got three mics.
Yep. So although the popularity of the drink kind of like faded out from then, because a lot of people like you don't like dairy in their cocktails.
I mean,
and they see it as more of a kid drink, even though it has alcohol in
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, like
I never thought of it as a kid drink.
Not like that, but like when people think of milk, they think of babies and kids. So not necessarily, you know, that it's for kids. But it wasn't until that all changed in 1998. And you know why it changed.
Oh, I know why it changed.
Should I let them know why?
Tell them why.
So in 1998, it all changed with the cult classic, The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski.
And that's exactly what we're doing today. So a lot of people fell in love with this movie. They started going to their local bars and asking for drinks.
I'm falling in love with it all over again with this drink.
I told you. And so not only is there the white Russian that I told you about, but there are different varieties of them. Like, we just made our own little variety right now.
Oh my God, and I love it. I didn't think I was going to like it, but damn, as soon as that coffee starts to melt in there.
Okay, so there's a white Canadian, and that is...
I know a lot of white Canadians.
Yes. Well, they have their own drink.
I love each and every one of them.
Instead of using cream, they use goat milk. Yeah, Canadians, eh?
All right.
And then there's the white Cuban, where they use rum instead of vodka, which I actually would like that. I love rum.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
This one is totally for my brother. I probably should make this for him. But white Belgium, which instead of using coffee liqueur, use chocolate liqueur. Or he could have this one, a dirty Russian, which instead of heavy milk, they use chocolate milk. Right? Right?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Right? And okay. I think the dude would clearly abide by all these damn drinks. Absolutely. That's for sure. So that's
Dude is easygoing. He's going to go with whatever's right? there. Man. If you don't got Kahlua, he's going to do Bailey's. If you don't got cream, he can do chocolate milk.
Man,
you
know? He just got to make do.
What does he call himself? A pacifist?
Yes. This is totally... So that's my little history on a white Russian for y'all.
Oh my God, that is delicious.
So yeah, so now you know what movie we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So The Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski.
I am going to, full disclosure, admit that I had never seen the movie. I had heard about it and never got around to actually watching it until this week. And
were you happy?
20 years later, the movie still holds up. You know how sometimes you see like, oh, you got to see this movie. And it's like, I seen it when I was a kid. And like when you see it as an adult, it's not the same.
That's how I felt
about it. It's like one of those things. Big Lebowski's not like that.
Yes.
You see, it's an amazing film.
Mm.
You know?
I mean, it has an amazing cast. That's pretty much why.
Seriously amazing cast.
You have Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Julia Moores. It's just...
The list goes on. That got me, honestly, as... You know, these people in 98, some of them were famous, some of them were not.
Right, right.
In 2018, all of these guys are famous. You know, John Turturro's in there, Tara Reid, Philip Seymour Hoffman, my dude.
I know. I always forget he's in it because his part is so small and he's not like, he's just kind of a douche.
I mean, but he's such a great douche.
He is.
You know,
he is.
It's Hoffman. He, when he does a role, he does the role.
He does the role.
You know?
He does the role. I believe you.
But when we're watching that tumbleweed just pass on by throughout all of LA and I'm seeing all these names pop up and mm-hmm. it's like, oh wow, all these people are famous now. This mm-hmm. could have been the movie that actually catapulted a few of them.
I truly believe that too. I mean, the Coen brothers, they just make amazing movies
mm-hmm.
that take transport you somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun fact for all our drinker listeners out there, there is in fact a drinking game to this movie. There are several ones, so I'm just going to give you a little rundown.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of
give
what
me the
it
drinking
is.
Names. Okay.
Okay, so if
does it go like coherent with the movie? Like
yes. It's like, okay, so you'd have one drink if the dude refers to himself in the third person.
The dude minds. This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
Okay.
You would also take one drink if someone says, fuck, dude, man, is said in any context. So that's like every other word you're taking a drink. Fuck, dude, man. That's like in every other sentence.
Yeah.
I would not suggest to play this game because you will die. I'm sure.
I mean, take it easy. Have a white Russian.
Have a white Russian. Anytime Walter gets angry, which
oh,
is
shit.
Every time he's
shut
on.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
How many times does he say, shut the fuck up, Donnie? And every time it's just a little
okay,
bit
well,
different.
I don't know how many times he says it, but the word fuck it, or a variation of it is used 292 times in this movie.
Holy
okay?
shit.
Okay, and the word dude, 106.
106 times. How can you say dude 106 times in a 2-hour movie?
I don't know, dude. It is literally a 2-hour movie. Yes, I looked that up because I wanted to know that too. I was like, how the fuck? Okay, so there's those. What else is there?
And I was trying to keep count. I think I lost count at like 9 or 10 when he says, shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Yeah, I don't even know. So you would also take a drink when all three of them are bowling.
Yes.
Okay, so that's anytime they're together. Here's two drinks. When Walter mentions Vietnam, or the dude has a dream, or someone bowls a strike. And that's fucking Donnie anytime he's fucking up there, except the end. Okay.
I thought that was going to play like really different. Deep in there, but I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, they just kind of threw it away.
I know. When I came over today, he was watching it. And
for the third time.
I saw people. What part was about to come on of him about to die. And I was like, oh, he's going to be real sad. Oh, spoiler alert. If you've never seen this movie, you should probably turn this off because we about to spoil the fuck out of this.
And if you haven't seen it, you're 20 years late like me.
Get
however, I didn't listen to any podcasts or any interviews about Big Lebowski before I watched the movie. So just go watch it and then come back and listen to us.
Then come back, yes. Okay, so we're still on this drinking game. Three drinks. If
I'm halfway done already.
If Bunny is referenced as a bitch or Donnie goes off topic in a conversation or you hear a classic rock song.
Okay.
That's three drinks.
Three okay? drinks.
So this one is you finish your cup.
Oh, shit.
When Walt says or does something angry, the dude gets angry.
That's 5 minutes in. That's 3 minutes in.
The dude gets angry with the law. Philip Seymour Hoffman's character laughs. I don't think that even really happens that often.
Oh, it happens once.
Is it? So yeah. That's just that one
Tara
time.
Tara Reid once. It's just like, I'll suck your cock for $1,000.
That's right. Then there's that game, which I necessarily would not be able to do at all. But there's the White Russian Challenge, which is you have a White Russian every time he has a White Russian. Which
oh, okay.
is a total of 9 White Russians.
9 White Russians.
In 2 hours. So that's like one every like 13 minutes.
Wow.
If we did it evenly.
I'm not surviving any of these games.
So those are the fun drinking games that you guys can play.
Maybe after like 50 or so of these podcast episodes, because then you're going to build me up into
I think
drinker.
I could probably get through about half of it. Like 5. 5 was like my limit last Christmas, and then I passed the fuck out.
Jesus. Yeah, okay. I missed Christmas last year.
Oh, okay. So man is said 147 times.
Man?
Man.
Okay.
And that's 1.5 times a minute.
What do you want?
Man.
All right, so folks, I'm going to get full disclosure right here and now, episode one. If you hear something crying in the background, that is Robin. That is our little pug chihuahua. She loves to cry and beg for attention.
Robin Schabowski.
And her mom is out of town right now, so it's just me watching her. She's going to cry a little bit.
Yep. Sorry about it. Not sorry.
Nope. She's my puppy. She stays. Maybe. We love her.
All right, so let's like dig in a little bit and see all this right. movie. So before filming each scene, Jeff Bridges would like frequently ask the Coen brothers, did the dude like burn one on his way over?
Mm-hmm.
And usually they said yes.
Fuck
and
yeah.
He would like go always. In the corner and rub his eyes until they were red.
Oh,
and that's how he
okay.
got his stoner look.
Okay.
Which I think is, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I wish that he would have just really just went and burnt one. And
Jeff Bridges doesn't fuck around. Tell me why he looks so damn good. Like, I know he's old now, but like he only got old in like the last 5 years.
He's like Morgan Freeman, where you stay in old age for a long time. Uh-huh. So then by the time
I feel like he got old young.
Yeah.
And stayed like that for like 30, 40 years.
And now he's starting to look like real old. Not real old, but
I mean pretty damn old.
He's getting there.
But
yeah. I don't know.
He's got that old man look finally.
Maybe he did like the
blonde finally turned white.
Maybe he did like the deaf becomes her thing. But he did it so late in life that he was like stuck at an old age.
Could have been. I don't know. But let's go down this list. I mean, Jeff Bridges is the man. John Goodman again delivers again.
Always.
Fucking love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
John Goodman, you are my dude.
I love you.
You know, I was just listening to him talk to off camera with Sam Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to go back into like his life and everything, all that, he didn't study a whole lot of acting.
He's just amazing. He was just born amazing.
No, I'm not saying he's just naturally like that. You know, like he had his training to a certain extent,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't talk about it. You know, he says that, you know, it kind of does away with itself after a certain amount of time, yeah. and that he doesn't consider himself like one of these great actors. And I firmly disagree.
What are you talking John, about? You have your filmography is just we're dog.
You are killing it, man. To this day, like you. I had another wave later in like, what was it, like 2010, 2011?
I mean,
came back and just started acting all over again and just flipped in like 20 new movies.
I know. He's all over the place. And now he's going to be in the Roseanne reboot.
Oh, geez.
I'm excited. I love the show and I was like excited. And then I saw the first episode and I was very unexcited. And then she started saying shit. And then I was like, oh, well, I guess the show's over. But to have them, like, reboot it with
yeah,
him,
without her, but he's in there.
Yeah. I'm down to give it a try.
I'm going
to
watch it. I'm going to see what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know? I remember watching the originals, and I love the originals, and I always thought that I was DJ because, well, I looked like his ass. And I was his age.
You're hilarious. You're hilarious. So, John Goodman. He says that this is his favorite and funniest movie he's ever acted in.
Really?
So, yeah. You can tell he okay. loves it, too.
He's yeah, just absolutely.
Going balls to the walls.
I mean, he starts at 100 miles an hour pulling out that gun and everything. He's like, over the lawn!
I think I'm fucking around there, fucking zero!
All right, it's fucking zero. You happy, you crazy fuck?
Holy game smoke.
It's a league game. I don't give a fuck.
I would never want to meet him in real life.
I would not want to be on the other end of that face when he's doing that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I halfway want to.
I would like
as long as it's in a movie.
I'd like to see him from a distance.
Okay.
You know, like
that, go off on
that
somebody?
Character. Yeah, like where I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not getting my ass chewed out by that dude. Like,
tell me this. Who was your favorite character in the entire movie?
Oh, the dude.
The dude?
Yeah, man.
I should have rephrased. Who is your favorite character besides the dude? Because the dude is in every single scene.
He is.
He is literally in every single scene, including where he's in the background, where him and John Goodman are hiding in a van.
I would have to say John Goodman.
John Goodman?
He's just ridiculous. Or Maude. I like her. She's just
Maude. Julianne Moore. Crazy. She's a nut job, but...
I would love to hang out with her, like, in her painting studio.
I'm strangely attracted to her.
I have...
Maybe it's just because I know it's Julianne Moore and she's a beautiful, beautiful actress. I've been
attracted to her since fucking Boogie Nights. Like, I
love Julianne Moore, I am openly attracted to. Julianne Moore is beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. I'm talking about Maude for some reason.
Oh, you're attracted to her? Yeah, because she's weird.
She's weird, right?
Well, that's because she's, like, supposed to be based off of, like, Yoko Ono and another, like, weird 60 artists.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Paint naked and hang in her.
However, when the two of them are laughing, her and the bald dude that answered the phone, oh, my God, I wanted to get out of the room.
That movie is... It's just, this movie is just so much great things in it.
Like, yeah, it really is. You can't stop. But I'm going to say my favorite character.
Give it to me.
He's only in two scenes.
Jesus. I knew it.
Jesus. Cleaning his ball, licking his ball. You look at me right now. You try and pull that bullshit with me. I take that Glock and shove it up your ass and pull the trigger until it goes click.
You are so... Okay, so I got a little fun fact about him.
Okay. About John? John Turturro?
Yes.
Okay.
So anytime you see that massive bulge in his pants...
Uh-huh.
It's a bag of birdseed.
No.
A bag of birdseed. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that gives him that... That's...
That thick...
Meaty, thick...
That's how he got his pants so tight. Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
You know, I heard that at first he was very embarrassed when he first saw the first cut of this movie. It was like...
Who?
John Turturro.
Oh, really? Of his
character. I mean, wouldn't you?
No. I mean, doing the things he did is like,
oh my God, I can't believe I did that stuff.
And the Conan... they said the Conan brothers just let him go because his part was so small.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think... It was probably smaller than what we see, but he's the one who came up with licking the ball and, you know, buffing the ball like that.
Uh-huh.
That's all him.
And I got you.
Just go with it. And that's what we got.
This may have been his breakout role, too, because there's not a lot that we saw of him or of Steve Buscemi before this.
Steve Buscemi was in Fargo by this time.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
That's another... Coen Brothers movie.
Sure is.
Okay, you're
so
right.
So the lead Russian guy. He's the other weird hitman in Fargo.
Oh, yeah. He made a nice career for himself.
Playing like crazy...
Crazy Russian
guys.
Dudes for the most part, you know?
But like whatever pays the bills.
And he was just in L.A. to Vegas, too. Unfortunately, it got canceled.
Oh.
Sorry, spoiler, if you guys don't know, L.A. to Vegas is not coming back next year. Little inside scoop from Hollywood.
Hey, you scooping them.
Sorry. Yeah. I like that show. I wanted to get an audition. I couldn't get on.
Okay. This screenplay was written for Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, and Steve Buscemi. And Sam...
Steve who?
Buscemi.
I'm going to give you a third chance.
But...
Buscemi.
Shemmy. Whatever.
Actually, I heard that's not even the way you really pronounce his name. I don't know how.
All I know is
you really say it, but that's how he accepts it.
For like 20 years, he's been Mr. Pink. He's lucky I even know how
much
his name is.
Mr. Pink. Why I gotta be Mr. Pink?
He's been Mr. Pink.
Why can't it be another?
He's like, how about we trade colors? No.
Mr. Pink, don't tip. Fuck that.
I kind of agree with some of the shit that he says, but that's another day. It's another day.
He makes a good argument.
Another day. Yeah, so those were made for them, which is awesome. I want a script written for me.
I got you.
You know,
I was reading something else about this movie. Is they originally wanted Marlon Brando to be the Big Lebowski. For those of you who don't know, the Big Lebowski is not Jeff Bridges.
No, he's the dude.
The Big Lebowski is Mr. Lebowski, the millionaire, or the lion millionaire.
The fake ass, the fake wheelchair ass cheating motherfucker.
Millionaire. But yeah, their dream was to have Marlon Brando do this role. Ooh. And they went down, like, that was their, like, number one. We want him. But they talked about doing it with a number of people also. Gene Hackman was one of the people. There was a number of names that they wanted. Ultimately, they went with the dude that they went with. Not a big name. Not the dude. But not, I mean, not the dude, but the actor. What is his name? Huddleston? Something like that. Todd Huddleston?
Not that he didn't do a good job.
He did a great job.
His character was just very unlikable.
Which is exactly what it's supposed to be.
I totally understand.
You know? But I found that interesting. Can you imagine Marlon Brando as the Big Lebowski?
I would love the movie 10 times more. And that's hard to even say because I already love it a million.
But by this time, Marlon Brando was kind of, he was like, all right, I'm kind of like, done acting.
He would have been perfect for it. By that time, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, by that time.
98?
He was like fat.
No, he wasn't that big. He was doing with Johnny Depp. What's that movie?
And he was big in that too.
He was big. He wasn't huge. He wasn't on his deathbed or nothing like that.
No, but he's no Streetcar Named Desire.
I mean, that was in the 40s, the 50s.
It's one of my favorite plays.
You saw buff and ripped.
One of my favorite plays. That's the only reason I throw it out there. All right, you want another fun fact?
I'll take another fun fact while I adjust my drink.
I know. Okay, so the diner that Walt and the dude have coffee during the toe scene, it's the same diner from multiple movies. So you might recognize it from American History X.
Oh, okay.
And
is it in Venice?
It is on Wilshire and Fairfax here in sunny LA. Oh,
okay.
It's called Johnny's Coffee Shop.
Gotcha.
And it has long been closed. It is not open to the public, so please don't try to go get coffee there. It is literally just for filming.
Really?
Yes.
So if you need a coffee shop, that's for you. Okay.
Yeah. It's been in movies like Volcano, the Tommy Lee Jones movie. Remember?
I remember that one.
Reservoir Dogs that we were talking about.
Reservoir Dogs.
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Really?
Yes.
It's the
diner when they're in the diner.
Oh, yeah.
These are all the diners.
When he first goes back to see his mom.
Yep. And then
she yells at his ass, what are you doing there?
There's a Tom Petty music video that's, I don't know Tom Petty, so.
What?
I can't, I know him, but I don't know him Tom enough
Petty,
to.
Tom God rest.
Tell you what video it is.
Sorry, it's still.
But I do know this one. Sean Kingston, Beautiful Girl. Beautiful girl. Yeah, so that was filmed there as well. And it's owned by the Gold family. And they're the founders of the 99-cent only store. And they're the ones who own this cool diner you can film in.
You're kidding me.
I kid you not.
Okay.
So there's a little fun fact for you.
I'm going to write a scene just so that I can film that.
I would love you
to
do that because I was thinking about how am I going to get into this diner.
Ain't nobody putting you in it. Okay, fine.
That's so messed up. That's so messed up. By the way, for viewers out there, we are in-laws. My brother is married to his sister, and so we are family.
We family.
So him writing a script without me being in it is pretty BS.
It's kind of cold. Yeah, absolutely.
Throw that out there in case you see a movie that he writes and directs, and I'm not in it. Come on, let me be your Samuel Jackson. To your Quentin Tarantino.
I need to add in another female character for the one that I'm working
Got
on
it.
Right now.
Me.
I don't know where to put you.
Don't worry about it. I can be anything.
I'm just going to put you in every scene. Just sitting in the back.
Singing in the background.
I'm going to name you Fonzworth.
I don't care. Just make sure I get paid.
Nobody's getting paid, including me.
All right, so let's get back to the movie.
So something interesting that I realized about this movie is the plot of the movie, the story of the movie is kind of secondary to the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like people watch it and it's not because they want to know what happens. They watch it because they want to see John Goodman say, "Shut the fuck up, Donnie."
They want to see the dude.
They want to see the dude.
You want to see the dude about. You know,
they they want to see the bullet. They want to see everything. They don't want to know about the story. It really is secondary to all the craziness that goes on in the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I didn't understand it until I actually watched the movie.
That the story is just kind of secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, he just keeps getting misidentified.
Yeah, he just wants a compensation for his rug.
He just wants his rug.
Seriously, that's all he wants. He doesn't want the $1 million. I mean, he'll take the 20 grand, you know?
Yep.
But in lieu of all this, he gets caught up. It just snowballs around him. I feel bad for him.
I feel bad for him. I think that, you know, he just wants to do him, and he can't even do that without people coming and messing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else we got?
About the movie?
About the movie. Oh, I got another fun fact for you.
Are you going to sing every time you have a fun fact?
Should that be my new thing?
I don't know.
I got a fun fact for you.
Ready? We'll let the audience decide.
They're going to love it.
All right.
I got a voice like an angel. Okay, so here's my fun fact. A lot of the dude's clothing in the movie was really Jeff Bridges' clothing.
Yes.
And he still wears some of the stuff, like the sweater, and he often wears the sandals.
I love it.
So
I love it. I want to see him show up to the Oscars as the dude. In Academy Awards 2020, Jeff Bridges just walks in, sandals, sweater, shorts, t-shirt, glasses. White Russian.
He's like, I'm here to fuck shit up.
You want to know, while I was looking this up on IMDb, there is allegedly a Big Lebowski 2, but it's just it's like a trailer. It's a trailer where Tara Reid does the voices of all the characters.
What the fuck?
I was so upset I didn't even bother watching it.
Oh my God.
So I don't know if it's good or not, but.
What was it called?
Called The Big Lebowski 2.
Like it's on YouTube?
No, it's on IMDb. I didn't look it up.
IMDb?
Yeah.
So it's real.
It's got a legit credit. Yeah.
It's like a short film?
It came out in like 2011. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, I didn't even watch it. I read the synopsis and it's like everything is done by Tara Reid.
Boo.
Tara, what are you doing?
Boo. Sorry, girl. No one wants to
You
got to
get Coen Brothers permission for stuff like that. I mean, she probably did. Either that or it's like a spoof thing. I don't know.
She's trying to make bank off of something. Like this movie, the budget was $15 million to make and they made over $46 million.
Wow. I heard it bombed at the box office though. Like opening weekend was not great.
I mean, worldwide, that's pretty good. You have
worldwide,
yeah. It only was $15 million to make,
dude. Expectations to quote Ari Gold from Entourage: expectations are great. A dollar over, life is good. A dollar under, stick a gun in your mouth and make sure I'm standing behind you.
Wow, that's deep.
That's Hollywood.
That's scary. I'm just gonna stand
that's
aside.
That's Hollywood, right
you
there.
Can, you can shoot yourself. That's fine.
Just meet your goal.
I mean, and that's a lot for, you know, 98,
yeah.
Oh, another thing. Here's another fun fact for ya. I'm working on it. No. Okay, so.
We're going to cut that.
Oh, wow. In the early draft of the script, the dude's income, like his job and stuff, was that he was like supposed to be he was an heir to the Rubik's Cube fortune.
What?
Yeah, that's an early script thing.
Oh, an early draft. Okay.
Early draft.
Because, yeah, he specifically says he's unemployed.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He's looking for his business papers. What's in the briefcase, sir?
Papers.
All my business papers. And what do? I'm unemployed.
Don't ask questions. Shit. Just find the stuff.
Oh, somebody else who was in the movie that I completely forgot about, who I shouldn't have, Flea.
Oh!
Red Hot Chili Peppers, right. Flea is in the movie.
I love Flea.
Beating people's asses. He's one of the, what do they call him? The German dudes?
The little henchmen.
Nihilists?
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently they chop off Flea's pinky toe, and that's what is sent as Tara Reid's pinky toe.
He must have the most dainty feet.
I mean, he's not a big dude.
He's not a big dude.
Awesome dude.
He is. And I'm excited. I was excited to see him, even though he gets his ass beat with the bowling ball. But anytime I ever see him, I always think of you pick it,
I stick it.
I love that movie.
Dude, I didn't realize he was in so many movies. He does a lot of cameos
and stuff. Yeah. He'd always be like, Flea, what the hell? Everybody else is just like, we're just going to do Music Man. He's like, I'm just going to, you know.
He's an LA born and bred dude. Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going to just do my thing.
I just want to go skateboarding with that guy.
I just want to. Have you seen the. Oh, I think I watched it with you, right? The car karaoke with them?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It just made me love them even more. Even though I've seen them
Red Hot Chili Peppers amazing. Carpool Karaoke.
Look it up.
Insane.
In the membrane.
No, that's a different band.
It is a different band. Okay. So, in the actor studio interview with Jeff Bridges, he says that... When he met with the Coen brothers after reading the script, he asked them, did you guys hang out with me when I was in high school? So apparently the dude is a lot like high school.
Jeff Bridges? Yeah. That'll make sense for you.
I found this incredible story.
I'm feeling good, by the way.
I'm almost done with my
White Russian.
I'm about to tell you this story right here. Then you're going to tell me some facts why I make us some more White Russians.
Okay.
So here's a really fun story that I found. And I wish that I was the girl in this story. So the Coen brothers were at a movie theater in San Francisco. And they saw a poster for The Big Lebowski. And they asked the teenage girl behind the counter, what's going on? And she says, oh, the theater has a nightly showing of the movie. And she said, oh, people come out dressed up in costumes. She said, it's totally funny. I think you guys should come. I think you'd like it. But she had no idea that she was talking to the Coen brothers who wrote and direct this movie.
That's awesome.
So I don't know what theater that is because I used to live in San Francisco and I definitely would have remembered a nightly showing of The Big Lebowski somewhere. But I wonder if that girl finally read up on it and was like, oh shit, that was me. I don't know.
If that was me, I don't think I would have wanted to know.
I wouldn't want to know either because I would be kicking myself that I didn't tell him, I love Fargo. I didn't scream something at him.
All your movies. They're all amazing.
Your movies are amazing. You make me think and laugh and cry. God. Okay. So tell me some stuff. I'm making us more drinks.
You making us more drinks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Should I get more coffee cubes?
Yes, I love those things. Okay. They're keeping me up. I got this I know there's alcohol in here, so I'm nice and chill, but that coffee is keeping me alert at the same time. So check this out. So John Turturro, you know how I told you that he was a little embarrassed by the movie or by his character at first? Apparently, over the years, that character has grown on him. And he has begged the Coen brothers to do a part two, a number of people have. And
Jesus?
Well, starting out just the movie in general, people wanted a part two. And the Coen brothers are like, no, I don't do sequels.
Yeah,
you know? But he also asked them if they would do a spinoff of Jesus. Or at the very least, give him permission to do it himself.
And what'd they say?
No. I don't think it's going to happen.
I believe that. They don't do sequels.
Yeah, they don't do sequels and they don't do spinoffs because they don't have to and they don't want to. They're the Coen brothers. You know? They kill it once and then they move on to the next thing. You know?
They're just amazing.
Yeah.
Me and my brother were that good. Make cool movies.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's us.
Yeah, that's us, just in 5 years.
In 5 years?
Give us some time.
Yeah, I told you you were going to like these Russians.
I know, and I'm not, I don't like dairy. These are delicious. I'm glad I did the ice cubes, though, because I was looking up recipes, and I was like, I don't know if this is going to be very good. Oh, I don't even know if I'm going to wait 5 minutes for the ice cubes to melt this time. Okay, we're making a mess over here.
All right.
Robin, do not lick that.
Okay, I'm back.
And you're knocking over,
I'm knocking over
audio.
Sorry.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to our audience.
Sorry, people.
Our five people who are probably our family.
I know. Thank you, mom and dad and brother and sister for listening. I know that's all we have. You're knocking stuff.
Okay. I'm knocking stuff. I'm adjusting stuff. I'm turning it towards you just in case your mic runs out.
You ready for another fun fact?
I like that one. Okay. That was nice.
So after Jeff Bridges was cast in the movie, he calls John Goodman and he's like, yo, like, when are the rewrites coming in? And John Goodman's like, oh, this film is a Coen brother film. They don't do rewrites.
Oh.
So apparently they don't do, and I did read that every word, like every fuck, man, and dude is in the script.
There, wow.
None of them are ad-libbed.
Those I love
all,
it.
The Coen brothers like, we wrote it, you say it.
Yeah.
Gotta do it.
I mean, that's the way they work.
Mm-hmm.
And it has worked out very well for them.
I have no problems with that.
Somebody else in the movie or in the project that I need to mention is the DP, Roger Deakins.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that is?
No.
Roger Deakins is the man.
Okay.
As soon as I saw that he was the cinematographer, director photography.
Wait. Is he like
Oscar winning cinematographer for everything?
He works with them a lot.
Oh yeah, he works with them.
Yes, I do know who you're talking about.
He works with Ron Howard. He works with everybody. Roger Deakins is at the forefront of cinematography. You want your movie to look beautiful, you hire Roger Deakins.
I mean, especially if you're going to do those dream sequence.
Yeah.
Like, I also read that Jeff Bridges was too big to go through the girl's legs, so they had to film it separately, like the girls, and then they filmed him, and then they shrunk him, and then they edited that he's going through their legs.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
You're going to leave that one alone?
There's too much going on in the world, and I don't want to sound misogynistic.
Yeah, let's go past that one, though. Jeff Bridges apparently has a band.
Really?
He got it.
Ooh, you made that one strong.
I did.
He got a band. I'm not driving.
You home. You already home. He's got a band, and the band is called, I don't know. Oh, his backup band is called The Abides.
Wait a minute. His backup band?
Mm-hmm.
So he has a band, and then he has a backup band.
No, he's, I guess he's like the singer, and the backup band is called.
Okay. Know.
It's like Michael Jackson and Jackson 5.
I got you. He's
Jeff
the
Bridges
singer.
And
okay.
The Abides.
Hey, he's got a voice. Did you see Crazy Heart?
I didn't, because I'm not a big fan of country, but I do know that he has a voice.
Dude, amazing performance in Crazy Heart. You know, not that Jeff Bridges ever turns in a bad performance.
I have never heard of
him. I don't know if he's even capable. I saw some of his earlier stuff. What was it called? Like White Squall or something like that, where he's leading a bunch of kids river rafting or something.
Mm-mm.
Dude, killing it. Absolutely.
I've never heard of
Well, he
that
comes
one.
From a family of actors, I believe, if memory serves correctly.
That sounds right.
He's but even in his younger years, and I don't know if he... Even when he did that movie, he might have been like 25, and he looks like he's 40.
See? He's got the Morgan Freeman disease. It's real.
I got the Seth Green disease.
I got the...
I'm going to look 12 forever.
I got the Black Don't Crack disease.
That's a good disease to have.
I mean, my mom looks fantastic.
She does. I can attest to that.
And I'm just
is she going to hear these?
She probably is. She's probably going to be frowning because I'm cussing a lot. Sorry, mama.
Jeanette, it's going to be okay.
Sorry, mama.
It's all in entertainment.
That's what happens when you drink and you talk.
That's true.
You start cussing a little bit.
That's true. I don't think she's ever seen this side of me. Now I want to censor myself a little bit. I'm not going to censor myself,
don't
though.
Don't censor yourself.
It's all right. It's just things are going to come out.
We can do whatever we want.
Not to them.
I don't care. I burnt one before we did it. So she knows that's my guy.
She knows you do that, though.
And she knows I like to drink.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, what do you need a shaker for? And I was like, I'm going to be drinking today. She's like, I thought your podcast was about movies. I was like, it is.
Yeah. Movies and drinking.
And drinks.
Lights, camera, cocktails.
Cocktails.
Did you tell her?
I did tell her.
Okay.
They still don't really realize what a podcast is. My mom just thinks it's like.
Just tell her, think Howard Stern.
I told her, I was like, it's like talk radio that you can get on demand. But she was just like, so people live, how do you make money? Like, what do you do? And
I don't know, Jeanette, but we're going to figure it out.
We're going to figure it out. I don't know how we're going to make money either, but it better happen.
So getting back to the story, Big Lebowski. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a hell of a story. Mm-hmm. Like, regardless of like how they say it's secondary, like, don't get me wrong, there is like little spots where like we don't know what happened to the money.
Yeah.
Whether there was really $1 million in the briefcase or not. I mean, it's just, you know, they accused Mr. Lebowski, Big Lebowski, of being a fraud. He said, that's your point of view. This is mine. John Goodman threw him out of his wheelchair.
He's like, he's faking.
And that was it.
I know.
Nobody knows what happened to the money.
Was he really faking? No,
he's really, I don't know. I think he got away with it.
Because if I was faking it, I wouldn't act like I could walk in there. I'd be like, oh.
One of two things has happened. Either Big Lebowski got that $1 million, or the little 15-year-old boy still has the $1 million.
I kind of think the 15-year-old boy has the money.
He didn't say shit.
He was stone-faced. Dude. Like, is this your homework? He's just like yelling at him. He has like his dad and that weird thing in behind him.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord.
What is his name, Ronnie? Is this your homework, Ronnie?
Is this your homework, Larry?
We know it's his fucking homework. Where's the fucking money, you little brat?
Where's the money, man? Where's the money?
Okay. Are you ready for another fun fact?
Hit me with it.
Okay.
You got me feeling good with this round. We're not doing two rounds every episode, are we?
No promises. I probably will. Jeez. Especially if you like it. I thought you weren't going to like it and I was going to drink yours.
But I'm more of an umbrella drink kind of guy.
I can put umbrellas in everything we drink. It does not matter.
That doesn't matter.
That's not what you said. Okay. That's not what you said. Okay, so I was giving you a fun fact, huh? Okay, so
yes.
Out of all of the...
You sang it.
Here's your fun fact. So out of all the different personalized...
Have you had too much? Are you slurring your words?
I'm starting to feel it, yeah. Like personalized bowling shirts that Donnie wears, none of them bear his name.
Really?
Yes. He's just wearing... I bet he just went to a thrift store and just bought bowling shirts.
I wouldn't put that past Steve Buscemi.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. I got another fun fact for you, too. This one's not...
Can I just say something real quick about Steve Buscemi? I have the utmost respect for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to share a little story with you. Did you know that he is a firefighter? He's a volunteer firefighter.
I've heard this. Yeah.
He, when planes crashed into the...
Twin Towers
on 9/11, he went down there and he volunteered his time and he did everything that he could to help. And he did not want one bit of recognition. He was there to help the people. He was there to contribute in any way that he could. And he wanted anybody who recognized him to not say anything. Like, I'm not here for that. This isn't a publicity stunt. This is for the people of New York. This is for the American lives. This is for the families.
And that's where his station was, right? In New York?
I believe so. Yeah.
God bless him. That's why love firefighters.
God bless Steve Buscemi.
And not only did he go and do all that, and then he's like, let me go make some kick-ass movies.
And he's, he's a hell of an actor.
Let me be on a sick-ass TV show.
From Grown Ups to Con Air to The Big Lebowski, the list goes on.
Oh, I forgot he's in Grown Ups. He's the one of the cast.
He's Wiley.
That's because his homie Adam Sandler keeps him working.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but he keeps working regardless.
He does keep working regardless, but he gets a lot of... I mean, he's in like every movie. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just a small weird part, they're like, hey, we just need you to be that weird dude with crazy
eyes. I feel like filmmakers do that. You know, they find people that they can rely on that are good actors. Mm-hmm. And while they're writing, they write it for people that they've already worked with.
The more you work with people and you can see how they take directions or they get what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're like, I just need you to do it like,
yeah,
like this.
If you can make a filmmaker's job easier, yeah, they're going to keep hiring mm-hmm. you. I got a couple people that are like that. Mm-hmm. Natalie Davis, I'm talking about you.
Hey. Okay, so I'm going to give you my last fun fact. You ready for your last fun fact?
Not the last one.
Okay, maybe not the last one. Here's another fun fact.
Okay.
Bunny's license plate on her little red convertible is uh-huh. Lampin, which is French for rabbit.
Really?
Lampin. If I'm saying it wrong, I'm so sorry, French people.
Those little Easter eggs that the Coen yeah. brothers throw in there.
Yeah, that's which funny. I would have been like, what the hell is a lamp? I don't speak French.
Yeah. And, hey, I thought Tara Reid did a good job. Her part was small.
Very small.
Very, very small. But, hey, 1998, Tara Reid was hot. And it's talking about the way she looked.
This is before American Pie.
I think this was after American Pie.
I feel like American Pie is like 99.
I feel like it was all around that time. It probably like around American that time. Pie. If this was before American Pie, then they uglied her down in American Pie.
They made her prettier.
Because she is sexy in this movie.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
I think American Pie was first. And then Van Wilder is somewhere in that time frame as well.
I forgot
about that.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds breakout role.
Breakout. I mean, all I ever think about is how they...
And damn, did he break out.
They like... Oh, and what was the guy from Real World was in it? You remember?
Oh,
what was his name?
Hutch or...
No.
I don't remember his damn name.
He's the black guy with the blonde.
I know.
He was in Hawaii. He was on the Hawaii one.
What makes you think that I watched The Real World?
You didn't watch The Real World in the
90s? I didn't watch The Real World.
Not in the 90s?
I didn't have MTV.
Oh, we talked about this.
We talked about this in the test episode.
That I was the rich kid with the cable and he was not with the cable.
You know, that's what fine. There is some poor folk out in the world.
Hey, man, I didn't pay the bill. I just watched it.
No, I did go to Michelle's house after school.
Oh, yeah.
But she didn't get control of the remote. That was Geeky. And all we watched was BET 106 in Park.
What's up, Kiki and Michelle? Those are our cousins.
Those are cousins.
Okay. So this movie... Okay, explain something to me.
Okay.
What makes a cult classic?
I don't know.
I thought you would know. I don't know.
I mean, in my opinion, a cult classic is something that stands the test of time. It's usually a movie that doesn't do well in its time. Like, it's not a smashing success right off the bat. It's something that grows on people over time, and it has a following. And when you talk about it, it's like, oh, my God, you haven't seen that? Like, Scarface is a cult classic.
It didn't make any money.
It didn't make any money at first. You know, Rocky Horror Picture Show is a cult classic.
That's true.
You know, these are movies that people, you can put them in the theater now.
And make money.
And people will come out like on like special events.
I do love going to Rocky Horror Picture Show midnight showings.
There you go.
Always fun.
You know what I mean? That, in my opinion, is a cult classic. It didn't make money at first, but it stands the test of time.
So does this count? And it made money.
It absolutely counts. I would put it in the same category.
Okay, I would too.
If we're talking about cult classics,
I say a cult classic is a movie that you can wear the costume and don't have to say anything, and people are like, "Oh my God, you're the dude," or "You're Maude," or you know, you can say the dude buys or anything from the movie, and someone would be like, "I love that movie." Yeah. That's kind of how I feel like a cult, or where you take it past the point of it being a movie. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about Rocky Horror Picture Show, it's past the point of being a movie. It's a stage musical, and it also is, if you go...
Did you see that remake?
I did. Dude, I did.
I thought... What'd you think?
I did see it. I thought it was...
That's her way of saying she wasn't a huge fan.
I was very excited that they used a wonderful transgender woman to play... The Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Laverne Cox.
Laverne Cox, who I love. If you don't watch Orange is the New Black, what are you doing with your life?
Or Doubt. Ashley worked on Doubt, and she was working with Laverne every day.
She said she's sweet.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And that's why I personally watched it, but her singing was not up to par.
It was for not.
Me. However, that's the only thing I was down on because Tim Curry, like he
I love that Tim Curry best. Made an appearance, though.
I did too. That he's the narrator, uh-huh. But I mean, he does not have the best voice. But like when he sings the end song, like "I'm Going Home" or whatever, it is so like beautiful and mm-hmm. like warming. And I didn't really feel that from her, but.
I got you. I can understand that. I love her. I mean, Tim Curry and Laverne Cox are...
They're not the same.
They're not the same. You it's can't hard. Really compare the two.
I get it.
However, I did think that... what's her name? Beautiful Cuban girl. Victoria Justice. Mm-hmm. I thought she did a great job.
She did okay, yeah.
You know? She's... Same situation. She's not Susan Sarandon, and you're you right. can't expect her to be. Mm-hmm. However, she did a great job as the character.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the dude that answers the door. What's his name? The hunchback dude.
Oh,
I love that they made him a rocker.
Hold on.
You know?
I'm really mad because I can't. Riff Raff.
Riff Raff. There you go. Like, you know?
I can hear my they, best friend
They had
Amanda
the right direction
at me,
yeah. for that movie.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, Adam Lambert makes his appearance.
It was good.
Sing his ass off.
It was good. I'm not knocking it.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that
we're
movie.
Not I know we got off track.
We're talking
I was
about,
just asking you about cult classics because
yes
this movie is
I mean it's in the name cult classic. Mm-hmm. it's a classic because it stands the test of time. It's a cult because it has a cult following.
Let me tell you about this movie's cult following.
Oh shit.
Okay, this movie has spawned its own festival.
Really?
Yes. And it started in Kentucky in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lebowski Fest has been in such cities as here in LA, New York, Seattle, Chicago, London, and Edinburgh. Just to
Germany made it all the way to Germany.
All the way, yeah. And
that makes sense with the nihilists.
Yeah, I can see why they would get it there. Bridges, Goodman, Bruschetti. Damn it.
You're killing me.
Mr. Pink and Totoro and more have all been previous attendants at this thing.
Okay.
So
I love when they come out for like special screenings and stuff.
Yeah, me too. So they know that their fans are just like, I would show up too.
Yeah. So me and Ashley went to go see a outdoor viewing of Idiocracy.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie, right? And Dax Shepard showed up. It was amazing. The more I'm learning about Dax Shepard, the more of a fan I'm becoming of his. And, what is his name? I can't believe I'm spacing on his name. The president.
Barack Obama?
No, in the movie.
Oh! That's my president.
The other black president.
I can't think because I haven't seen that.
OG Triple OG's been in everything.
OG Triple OG.
You know his name. All right. Either way, they both came out, flexed his muscles. Much. It was what it was.
It was good. Though.
Yeah, it was great. You know, they did their little talk back and everything.
Was this at the Hollywood Forever?
It was not at Hollywood Forever. I'm not a huge fan of Hollywood Forever. They got mosquitoes over there.
I love the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
I do too, but that water attracts mosquitoes. And at nighttime, the mosquitoes come out and they bite me while I'm sitting there.
Okay.
Eating my cheese and drinking my wine and yep. watching my movie. Yep.
Yeah, we got lit that time too. We saw Vertigo the last time I went. Anyway,
oh, did you?
So this festival has been going on for 7 days. The 17th annual.
Oh, they
Lebowski
started quick.
Fest.
Yeah, that's only like 3 years after the movie.
Yeah, 2002 is when it started.
Okay.
And the festival of 2018, which is now, is going to be this July 20th through the 21st in Louisville, Kentucky again. That's where it started. So it's back there.
We got
to
go.
I would love to. there's a band going to be there called Murder by Death. I don't know who they are, but they're doing like a whole tribute to the soundtrack.
Nice.
Of all the songs. They even have this bowling party with unlimited bowling.
Do they set up like a bowling alley?
Like there's a bowling alley.
Yes.
Unlimited bowling.
Absolutely. I love it.
There's trivia and costume contests. And they usually have special guests. This one is Jim Hooser.
I guess he was like one of the dudes who was on the opposite team that they're bowling against, and he's like yelling out on why he's doing. He's not really anyone famous. Okay. He saw something, like one other thing he's ever done, and so.
But was he the one that John Goodman was pointing the gun at?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he
mark it an eight.
Exactly. So he's going to be there. You if will you be are
in a
fan.
World of pain.
And that is their fest. That sounds cool. It's a bunch of stoners drinking.
I mean, if it was closer to LA, I would go.
If it was
go.
Here in LA, I would totally be like,
I mean, I'd make the drive to Vegas
there?
Or yeah. Arizona maybe, but
maybe even Seattle because that's
Louisville.
Yeah.
This podcast don't pay nothing yet.
So yeah, that's cool. So we got to keep an eye out next year. Hopefully it'll be here somewhere or close.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I got another fun fact
now
for
that
you.
I like white Russians.
Right? I got another fun fact for you.
You said that was the last one.
I lied. March 6th is National Dude Day.
I knew that one.
I knew you knew
National
that one.
Dude Day.
So on March 6th, you're supposed to drink your white Russian, burn one, wear your house coat to the grocery store.
Yes.
Lay on your rug and listen to Bob Dylan. And yeah.
Just be passive.
Just be
Have
passive,
a good day.
Man.
You know, just relax.
Just relax, man.
And the reason it is on March 6th is because that was the original release date of the movie.
It is.
March 6th.
Don't add
National
on to my fun
Dude
fact.
Day. Hey. Finish the fun fact.
I'm sorry. I'm
People sorry. Need to know why.
I'm sorry I messed up the fun fact. I'm going to work on that. And then once I get it good.
I'm going to edit Ashley in there singing fun fact.
No!
And see if people can tell the difference.
See the difference? I want you to, like, can you make my, like, it echo a little bit? Like, here's my another fun fact. You know? No?
That's a lot of work.
We'll work on it.
Let's see what I can do.
Fun fact. Okay. You got anything else?
Is that all your fun facts?
I got one more.
You got all the fun facts. I want to talk about the movie a little bit.
Talk about the movie, and then I will give you my last fun fact.
I'm going to go down the list real quick, see if I forgot anybody. Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Tara Reid, John Turturro, Julianne Moore. I mean, these are all legendary actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all actors that 20 years later, we know exactly who they are.
Who they are.
You know, the one person we didn't talk about was Philip Seymour Hoffman because he did have a very small role, Brandt. But I thought, you know, his small little role was hilarious, even as the douchebag. He's the assistant to
the big,
Lebowski.
Big douchebag.
You know, but in his douchebaggery, you still laugh.
Yeah.
Like he breaks it down to the dude when Lebowski is yelling at him. Then Brandt puts it in layman's terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not a good situation, dude.
I agree. I think
they're like shaking him down in the limo, about to hand him the envelope with the pinky toe in it.
Yeah.
And all he's doing is like, just, you know,
hey, man, I got a beverage here.
He got a beverage here, man.
Hey, careful, man. There's a beverage here, huh?
I love Philip Seymour Hoffman. R.I.P.
Oh, God.
And he does great stuff. And to see him in this movie, it made me happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of it made me happy. Just
can we do a Philip Seymour Hoffman month? That would make me incredibly happy.
Before we're going to watch like Capote.
We can do Capote.
What else?
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights is definitely going to be on my list because that's like in my top five favorite movies.
Boogie Nights.
And you know I'm going to be singing a lot on that episode.
I know.
Boogie Nights.
And that'll be, you know, we get to talk about Julianne Moore again.
Another.
My.
We get to talk about Marky Mark if we do that one.
Oh. You know, I tried Wahlburgers yesterday for the first time.
I heard they're out here now.
Yeah. Right there on Sunset.
All right, we're going after this.
After this? I just had them last night. All right.
I'm going after this.
I'm dead.
I've been watching their show for years now, being like, damn, next time I'm in Vegas, I'm gonna, and then
they
I went
make
to
a
Vegas.
Good ass burger.
And the line was too long. I was like, hell no, I'm not about to stand in line.
Did I sound like Samuel Jackson right now?
It's
like,
a tasty
that
burger.
That is a tasty burger.
Is it? Where you get this big Kahuna burger? That is a tasty burger. Can I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Can't have none of my white Russian drink, y'all.
You're welcome for opening your eyes up to white Russians.
They're very good.
You're welcome. Sister, okay. I did that for you.
Great. Now I got to drink them at Christmas. Give us your last fun fact. But okay. You got to sing it to us since you started.
Okay. Here's my last fun fact. Okay. So not only did this movie spawn the festival, it spawned its own religion called Judaism. This is real, people. This is real, not me.
You got to be kidding me.
They devote their lives to the philosophical and lifestyle of the dude.
Jeez. Okay.
It was founded in 2005, and they have ordained over 130,000 people.
Wait a minute. This is a legit religion. 130,000?
Yeah. Priests and priestess or whatever.
They're spreading the word.
Spreading the word.
Of Judaism.
One dude at a time.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So if you go to the website, which is, what is it, Judaism? Judaism.com.
I mean, I'm sure all you got to do is
Google it. I'm giving him his props because the creator of this.
What's his name?
The dude who created this is Oliver Benjamin.
Oliver Benjamin. I heard that you're never supposed to trust a man with two first names.
I've heard that too. And I don't trust this guy, but his full title in the church is the Dudley Lama of the Church of the Latter-day Dude. That's real.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of the Book of Mormon now. Okay.
For real. I found a video of this guy.
My name is Dudley Lama.
If you go on YouTube and you go look at the religion of Judaism, you look it up. There's this dude there who's dressed like the dude talking about stupid stuff and doing dude things. Like,
is it just teaching you how to be a pacifist? Or
pretty much. Okay.
And so, drink white Russians?
So you want to hear their mission statement?
Sure. Lay it on me.
Come join the slowest growing religion in the world. Judaism is a psychological that preaches non-preachiness and practice as little as possible. And above all, I lost my train of thought.
This is a religion for being lazy.
I'm reading it word for word. I lost my train of thought there. Anyway, if you'd like to find peace on earth, and Goodwill Man will help you get started right after a little nap. This is their statement.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you guys want to join the church.
It's a new hippie movement is all it is. The hipsters are going to join.
Of Latter-day Dude.
Jeez.
This dude is... Look it up.
I saw the video. He's doing all right if he's got 130,000 followers.
He does. Plus,
I don't got that many on Instagram.
Me neither. If I did, we'd be balling right now.
I'd be selling some products.
Yeah. Yeah. So go look up the religion of Judaism if you feel like your life path is not.
I get it. People don't like to work. Nobody likes to work. I don't like to work. You know?
Basically, he's just teaching you to be passive, man, and just
be a tumbleweed blowing in the wind and let things happen to you. I mean, that's cool, I guess, for those 130,000 people. Do you?
You do you, boo boo.
But don't be a strain on the rest of us. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think they are. They sound like just really cool pothead hippie dudes who just want to drink and be peaceful and do. White Russian yoga? Did you see
White Russian yoga?
Yes.
I've heard of beer yoga. Thanks to Kevin Hart and Chance the Rapper.
Yes, yes. He holds his White Russian while he does his own yoga.
On his rug. No yoga mat. We're doing rugs. His
ridiculously hideous wig, and he wears his house jacket around. He is the dude, man.
He is not the dude. Jeff Bridges is the dude.
He thinks he is.
He's the secondary dude.
He's the Dudley Lama.
He's the Dudley Lama dude.
The Dudley Lama of the Latter Dude Saint. Or Latter Saint Dude.
All right.
So, yeah. That's...
Okay.
I got one more fun fact if you want.
You're teasing me with these last fun facts.
This one's legit the last one, though, because the end.
Until
here's my very last fun fact. The dude is never seen bowling, even in the dream sequence. It's not him. It's Mod bowling, throwing the ball.
What?
Boom! Just blew your brain.
That makes me wonder if Jeff Bridges is a good bowler or not.
If I ever meet him, I'm going to ask him that. So yeah, that one legit is my last fun fact.
Last fun fact. I ain't got no more. Close the book on the fun facts.
But close.
Ultimately.
We ain't got no more.
The Big Lebowski. Amazing movie, great. Amazing cast.
Loved it.
Coen brothers knocking it out since 98 and long before, I'm sure.
Since the 80s.
Since, yeah. You know, I'm just.
Lady.
Can I just?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead. Go.
I lost my train of thought, like you said.
See, but, you're already joining the dutyism.
Hey. You had me do two right Russians for a man who doesn't drink a lot. That's
you guys, I'm about to make my brother-in-law into an alcoholic. It is great.
You can't. I got work to do. I got to edit this podcast.
That's fine. I'm going to make us another one after we're done.
Okay. While I'm editing. But 20 years later, The Big Lebowski holds up to all the hype. And this coming from somebody who hadn't seen it for the first 20 years of its life.
I can't believe
it.
I saw it back in the 90s. I mean, I didn't go to the theaters.
When did you see it?
Probably 99 when it was on HBO.
I was
going
to say, you better not say 97 or something like that. No. I was trying to catch you.
No, see, I know. I don't remember going to the theater, but I remember watching it a lot. So it was probably on HBO like one summer. If you're one of those 90 kids that had a, like, cable, then you know that they'd use the same like six movies.
I wasn't, but I stayed at a lot of cousins' houses. They had the cable.
Yeah, that was one of the summer movies that was constantly on. And it was a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. So next week we're gonna do a whole different movie.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna do the scene?
Okay, so since this is our first episode, I'm just gonna give you the lowdown real quick. We like to see how good you know your movie. Quotes.
Yes.
So
these are the tests for our audience.
So what we're doing here is that we're not going to ever tell you what our movie for the next week is.
No.
What we're going to do is we're just going to say some quotes from it. And if you are as good as a movie person as we are, then you might
know ahead of time what movie we're going to do next week. And we will tell you also what drink we're going to drink next week.
I don't know yet. I can't tell you because I'm still working on it.
Okay, then we're not going to tell you what drink we're going to drink. We're just going to put the name of the drink in the title of the episode.
Yeah, our episodes are going to be titled after the drinks.
Yes, exactly.
So don't think that there's a movie called White Russian because there's not.
Nope.
Oh, we will there never might name, be. I don't know.
We will never put the title of the movie we're talking about in the podcast title. It will be the name of the drink.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With that being said, we're going to do a scene from the movie as well as we can after two White Russians and not really knowing all the words. So we're going to improvise.
Yeah, you're going to get the gist of it. And I'm like hot and sweaty. So let's do this.
Oh, hot and sweaty. Oh. Okay. Hey. Excuse me. Beautiful. Come on over here.
How you doing?
You don't want what they're going to sell you over there. Let me sell you this right here. Check this out right here.
What's that?
This right here?
Mm-hmm.
This right here is called absinthe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This is going, let me tell you, this comes with instructions.
Uh-huh.
This ain't like no regular liquor. This is having you twisted for...
I don't care. It's green and sparkly. It looks like it's going to get me fucked up.
Okay. God damn. Okay, so this right here, check it out. It's going to last you about 5 years. You understand?
Mm-hmm. 5 months.
No. You're not listening. 5 years. You taking too much of this, you're going to be...
Beyond
what you want to be.
I got you. 5 weeks. We are going to take this and we're going to drink this really irresponsibly.
Oh, shit. You know what? You about to be a mental health patient with a fat ass.
Oh, so there is our little clip for next week. Hopefully you know what we're talking about.
All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. This
Thank
has
you
been
so much.
A fun first episode. We will see you next week.
Yes. With our next week... movie I can't tell you about, but thank you for joining us on Lights, Camera, Cocktail.